The first lesson for today is from the 45th chapter of Genesis. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer, and he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children, and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here." Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, while Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. The second lesson for today is from the 15th chapter of Matthew. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. This has been a busy summer, and today just started out just fine until I stepped into my garage and saw that the tire on the passenger side was a little flat. So I drive to my granddaughter's house, and her parents are out of town, so the man that usually takes care of those kinds of things, I mean, he's station is closed on Sunday, so she knows how to put a little air in the tire. So we go and get a little air in the tire. And then before we get out of her subdivision, good, we run into construction, and that was literally construction all the way. That the GPS turned us around from where we usually would get off on Capitol and come right in here. But anyway, we're here, and I like to say that up front because I don't want to be trying to manage that while I'm trying to preach. So I just say, and I said to my granddaughter, as we come on in here, I said, this doesn't look like Waukesha. And then finally I start recognizing it, and I just said, well, you know, the devil is a lie, so I'm here. Thank God. And thank you all for inviting me here again. I don't know, it seems like this summer my calendar have been unusually, I've been unusually busy. In other words, I've been preaching almost Sunday after Sunday. And of course, in this cycle, we are in the Matthew chapter. So I've been having an opportunity to preach each Sunday almost from that. And it's amazing how you start to see a flow, how you start to see Jesus had something in mind. Like, for example, last week, the scripture was about Peter getting out of the boat. And remember, you know, everybody know that story about him walking on the water, and then when he took his eyes off Jesus, he started to fall, and Jesus reached out and got him. And then what Jesus said, and the point that I'm driving at, why did you doubt, oh, you of little faith? And so today, we're looking at a person who, where Jesus said, great is your faith. So it's like you can almost hear him in this gospel leading us along a way to teach us certain things. And what's interesting about this person with this great faith today, she was a Gentile. As a matter of fact, during Jesus' time on earth, only twice did he tell someone that they had great faith, and they both were Gentiles. So this morning, the reading that you heard in your hearing from the Matthew Gospel, Matthew's Gospel, I will just center my thoughts around great faith in action is what we see here with this woman. And there's a lot that we can learn from this Canaanite mother. She needed help, as she read into your hearing, for her demon-possessed daughter. And she refused to take no for an answer. This remarkable woman who demonstrated great faith was a woman of Canaan. She was a heathen woman of Gentile stock who came to earn a rare commendation from Jesus. She was a descendant of the old Canaanite worship of Baal. This woman was, she was not necessarily a person bigger than life. She was a mother who loved her daughter. So she came to the only person that she knew could help her. She came to Jesus. So this morning I would like to share with you four elements that I see here that constitute great faith that this woman displayed in her approach to Jesus. First, she came to him in desperation. The sufferings of her daughter was great, but the suffering that the mother endured vicariously was greater still. As a parent and a grandparent, I don't know if any of you have ever watched your children suffer with something. You see, vicarious sufferings are always great in proportion to the amount of love that one has in his or her nature. And we can witness to that the greatest sufferer on earth was Christ. He bore the sins of the world and carried our sorrows. This mother in our story was desperate. Sin had ravaged the life of her daughter. And she didn't waste words as she stated the terrible trials shadowing her home. She didn't come with no eloquent language. That's not necessary when we present our needs to the one who knows all about them. even before we start, even before we tell him. And by the way, sin always takes its toll. Sin always takes you further than you intended to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and take you places that you never intended to go. Her daughter might have thought she knew what she was doing. Like today, we have the opioid crisis or the drug crisis. I'm sure that when people got started, they thought they knew what they were doing. I can imagine that her mother saw the warning signs and began to plead with her to turn back to God. But the daughter thought she had everything under control. And this mother is now at her wit's end. I can imagine she had tried everything that she knew to help her daughter. Perhaps she had contacted the rabbi, gone into the synagogue, the priest. No one had been able to help her. So she comes at last to Jesus. Secondly, as we look at what constitutes great faith, it requires a persistence. A persistence that will not quit. She would not be discouraged by the contempt shown her by the disciples. And Jesus' disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, send her away. She cries after us. We don't want to be bothered." Even though there were major barriers that she had to overcome, she came to Jesus anyway. The barriers of the culture of her day did not stop her. The contempt of the disciples did not stop her. She ignored her barriers and came to Jesus. And what were those barriers? Well, first, she was a woman. Women in that culture did not approach a man. She put the need of her child above her reputation as she approached a man. And not just a man, but a Jewish man. She was a Gentile. And at this time, salvation had not been offered to the Jews or to the Gentiles. That's what Christ meant when he said that he was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, the Holy God had taken the Israelite race to use to communicate his salvation to the world. Not only was she a Gentile, but she was a Canaanite. The Canaanites was given to idolatry. That was their history. It was in their DNA. That was their MO. She was a descendant of the old Canaanite worshiper of Baal. Truly, sin had taken its toll on this woman and her daughter. Never underestimate the power of sin in your life. But at the same time, never, ever underestimate the power of Jesus Christ to give you victory over that sin. Just yield your heart and life to him as she did. She came to Christ in desperation. She came with a made-up mind. She came with persistence. And she came worshiping. Great faith is a faith that has a spirit of worship. Worshiping Jesus as Lord. She came to Christ. Verse 25 said, the woman came and knelt before him in adoration. "Lord, help me," she said. Worship is not a complicated chore. As a matter of fact, I read and one great writer who says, if you really want to put the devil on the run, just start worshiping God, no matter what is going on in your life. It'll change not only your mind and your outlook, but it will change the very fear that's around you. Her worship consisted of three simple words: "Lord, help me." Many times, we think that you have to say just the right words. just at the right time, in just the right place, in just the right way, in order for God to hear us. But I submit to you this morning, God is not listening for you to say the right words. He's more interested in the attitude of your heart. Lord, help me. These three words are filled with emotion. Let's look at them separately. Lord, this word is the Greek word for kuros, and it means supreme authority or controller. With that simple word, she acknowledges that she no longer desires to control her own life. She desires to give Jesus Christ complete control. I'm afraid that many times we leave out this most important element. We like to be in control, especially if we got a little education and got a few dollars. We like to be in control or think that we're in control. But here she's come to a point that she's willing to make him master of her life. Help literally means to aid, to give me aid. She was acknowledging her inability to help herself or her daughter. She had been to all the religious folk, and they were not able to help her. She needed help beyond herself. She needed the help that only Jesus could provide. And lastly, me. Before, she had asked help for her daughter. Now she understands that she needs divine help herself. She needs the church of Jesus Christ just as much as her daughter. For the person that doesn't know Christ the Savior, God listens and looks for a contrite heart that has come to the end of itself and is crying to him to save it. God is looking for that heart that is willing to turn from self and admit their need, their trust in him. Lord, help me. I don't know about you, but I have had experience in life where I know I've been brought to places where I know that I don't know, and I know that I don't know, but I know he knows. And all you can do is lock on to him and just trust him. We're talking about great faith. This woman's display of great faith is seen when she came to Jesus in desperation. She was persistent. And then she came in adoration. And finally, she comes in a spirit of total, total humility and surrender to the Lord. Her plea becomes more and more intensified as Christ appeared to disregard her case. First, he was silent. He answered her not a word, the scripture says. He was even discouraging, told her right out, flat out, I was not sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. And again, it's not right or it's not meet to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. But all of this disregard and rejection only intensified the passion of her interceding. This woman was in serious intercessory prayer for her daughter. Her mind was locked in on the one that she knew that could help her, and she was not going to be put off. Why did Jesus seem to reject her when she was coming to him for help? I believe that this was a woman who just did not cow down, and Jesus knew this because Jesus looks at the heart. And her besetting sin was perhaps pride. And he had to get in there until he knew she would not be put off, that she had great faith. The attitude of Jesus was intended to test the faith of this mother. And here, great faith resulted in the healing of her child. Great faith receives its request. And in closing, it was the way she came to Jesus. It was her great faith in what Jesus could do for her. And she was not in any doubt about that. She had heard about Jesus. She called him the Son of David. And when she heard that he was in her area, in her town, she knew that Jesus could heal her daughter. And her great faith received its request. It was her great faith in what Jesus could do that healed her daughter. Amen.